This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday's sermon was based on Acts chapter 22, and we learned how the Holy Spirit led Paul to go back to Jerusalem to proclaim the gospel to the many unbelieving Jews who were there. Now, even though there were a few of the Jerusalem Jews who were brought to repentance and faith in Jesus through Paul's witness, the sad fact is that most of the Jews hardened their hearts and they would not believe Paul's witness about Jesus. In fact, if you remember, they wanted to kill Paul. And as a result, they started a riot. Well, when the Roman commander in Jerusalem heard about this, he sent some soldiers to protect Paul and put Paul in a safe place. You see, Paul was a Roman citizen. Not everybody was, but those who were Roman citizens had certain rights. And one of your rights was that you could not be punished for any supposed crime until you had been proven guilty through a proper procedure in court of law. So when the Roman commander found out that Paul, a Roman citizen, was in danger of being killed by this rioting mob of Jews, he sent soldiers to protect Paul so that he would have a fair trial. However, you need to realize that this Roman commander was not a Christian, nor was he a Jew, and so he was totally clueless as to why the Jews were upset with Paul. So, the Roman commander arranges for Paul to meet with the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was an official council in Jerusalem of Jewish religious leaders. Now, one thing you have to understand about the Jerusalem Sanhedrin is that they were made up primarily of two Jewish groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, what is unique about these groups? What does that mean to us? Well, let me explain. The Pharisees were Jewish men who did their best to observe every minute detail of Jewish religious law. The Pharisees accepted all of the books of the Old Testament as the inspired word of God, just like we do, but they also placed the written traditions of the rabbis on an equal plane of authority with the Old Testament scriptures. In addition, the Pharisees also believed in the resurrection of the dead and of the final judgment, which we also believe. However, the Sadducees were a bit different. See, the Sadducees had a more worldly, secular outlook on life, and one of the reasons for that is that they denied the resurrection of the body, and they denied eternal life. They believed that this life was it, and when you die, it's all over. In addition, the Sadducees also accepted only the first five books of the Old Testament. And even though they did their best to follow the laws in those first five books of the Old Testament, they rejected the rest of the Holy Scriptures and would not submit to it. Well, as you can imagine, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not see eye to eye on many things, and they all often ended up in great disputes with one another. However, in this occasion, they are now unified based on their mutual rejection of Jesus and their hatred of Paul, Jesus' apostle. Now, with that understood, we're ready to examine today's reading from Acts chapter 23, where we learn how Paul has a chance to witness to the Jerusalem Sanhedrin. However, before we get into the details of today's reading, I want you to understand something that's very, very important. For instance, over the last few weeks as we've gone through the book of Acts, you've probably noticed that many events and circumstances take place that seems as though God is not in control. For example, here's Paul. He's being persecuted by the Jews. He's being kept for safekeeping by the Roman commander. It seems as though Paul is involved in events beyond his control. But what we have to remember, though, is that all the factual events that are recorded for us in the book of Acts, they were events that took place under God's sovereign plan. In other words, it was no accident that Paul ended up in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit led him there. And it was no accident that the Roman commander in Jerusalem protected Paul and gave him an opportunity to witness to the Jerusalem Sanhedrin. This too was part of God's plan. In fact, it was God's plan to allow Paul to speak the gospel to as many people as possible. So even though it seems as though Paul is caught up in events beyond his control, the fact is that Paul is being used by God to bring the good news of Jesus to as many people as possible. And you know what? We can learn something from this. You see, sometimes we modern-day Christians may feel as though our lives are out of control. Sometimes when things get crazy, we may feel as though God has abandoned us. But the fact is that God is in control of every event in history, and He will work through every situation in our lives to help us grow in our faith and to give us opportunities to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, I'll be the first to admit that we might not understand the Master's plan. His ways are a mystery to us. But I find comfort in the fact that the Master understands His plan. God knows what He's doing. Therefore, we must always remember these words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8. Listen to what he says. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Now with that said, let's get into our reading for today. At the beginning of our reading, we see that Paul has been brought before a meeting of the Jerusalem Sanhedrin. Now, many of these Pharisees and Sadducees had already heard what Paul preached and taught on the previous day, and they didn't like it. They didn't like what Paul was saying about Jesus being the Son of God and the only Savior for lost sinners that was promised in the Old Testament Scriptures. They did not agree with Paul on that one. In fact, what made matters worse is that here was Paul, a former Pharisee, claiming that he had met the risen Jesus himself, and that the only way anybody could be saved was to trust in Jesus as Paul did. Well, here's Paul standing before the Jewish Sanhedrin, and he knows that they would like to kill him for what he has been preaching and teaching. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if deep down Paul was having a real struggle in his soul. You see, in light of the fact that he was very honestly facing death, he was probably tempted to say to the Sanhedrin, "Hey guys, please calm down. I want to apologize. All that stuff I said yesterday about Jesus being the only Savior and you needing to repent and trust in Him, I recant. That was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. You guys are fine. You guys are good. I don't need Jesus and neither do you. So can we just forget this whole thing and stop talking about putting me to death? That makes me feel uncomfortable. I've come around to your way of thinking. Let's just forget this whole thing and I'll stop preaching and teaching about Jesus and let's just get on with our lives." I'm sure Paul was tempted to say that because he knew what he was going to face if he remained faithful. But guess what? Paul doesn't compromise. Instead, God gave him the courage to speak the following words before the Sanhedrin. He said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." In other words, Paul was saying, "I'm not going to apologize for anything I've said. I'm not going to recant anything I've taught." You know, Paul's words remind me of some other words spoken by another man almost 500 years ago. I want you to listen to what this man said. He said, "Unless I'm convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I will not recant anything I have taught. Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen." As many of you may know, those words were spoken by Martin Luther when he was asked to recant his teaching and preaching about Jesus. And hundreds of years before Luther, God gave Paul the courage to stand firm on the truth of God's word in the face of those who despised Christ and wanted to kill his messenger. Now, after Paul gave his faithful witness, you might remember the high priest commanded Paul to be hit in the mouth. Now, that was a bit inconsistent. I mean, here is the high priest who is supposed to be standing up for God's laws, and yet God's laws and the scriptures teach that you should not punish a man when he has not been proven guilty. And so by commanding that Paul be struck, he was breaking God's law. Well, Paul points that out to him. He says, "You whitewashed wall," meaning you hypocrite. "You pretend to be holy, but you're doing something that is against Holy Scripture." Of course, some of the men point out to Paul that he was being disrespectful to God's high priest, which the Scriptures also condemn. Well, Paul then admits his error. He says, "Wait a minute, guys, I didn't know that he was the high priest, or I wouldn't have spoke to him that way, because I agree with Scripture. We should show respect and honor for our rulers." Well, that whole incident shows us the difference between Paul and the unbelieving Jews. Even though the unbelieving Jews were breaking God's laws, they didn't admit it, they didn't care, and they kept doing what they wanted to do. But the moment that Paul realizes he has done something against Holy Scripture, he repents. He trusts in Jesus for forgiveness, and he tries to make it right. So here we see what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you never sin. We all struggle with sin. Being a Christian means that when your sin is exposed by God's Word, you acknowledge it, you repent of it, you trust in Jesus for forgiveness, and you rely on Him for the strength to make it right and to live in a way that honors God. Well, after all this happens, Paul goes on and he says something in the hope that at least a few of them will come around to listening to him talk more about Jesus. What does Paul do? He says, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." Now, of course, this starts a big argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees because, as I said earlier, the Pharisees believed in a resurrection and the Sadducees did not. But why did Paul bring up this controversial issue? Well, remember, even though the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at loggerheads with each other, they were unified in their mutual hatred of Paul and Jesus. So Paul was thinking, what can I do to break up this ungodly unity and hopefully allow a few of them to hear what I have to say? So Paul brings up a point of truth that he knows will divide this assembly and hopefully allow a few of them to come around in support of Paul. Well, we know that there were a few who were convinced that Paul might have something good to say. But the fact is, most of the Sanhedrin became so upset that the Roman commander feared for Paul's life. And so once again, the Roman commander had to intervene, and he protects Paul by leading him into the Roman barracks. However, remember our reading? That night, the Lord Jesus himself stood before Paul, and remember what Jesus said to him. He said, "Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." Here we see that in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of a situation where it seemed as though God were on a vacation, here we see in the midst of all this disorder, God is still in control. Just as God used Paul to witness to the Jews in Jerusalem, God will also use Paul to witness to the pagan Gentiles in the capital city of the Roman Empire. In fact, as you read on in the book of Acts, you find out that during Paul's journey to Rome, which took a while, Paul had many opportunities to witness to other people along the way. For example, at the end of today's reading, we learn that the Roman commander in Jerusalem decides to send Paul to Caesarea to present his case before Governor Felix. Now, next Sunday, we'll get to hear about Paul's witness to Governor Felix. But as for today, I would like to conclude this sermon by giving you three things that you can take with you from this reading today to show you how it applies to your lives. First of all, One thing we learn from our reading today is that God is in control even when the events and circumstances of our life seem out of control. The God who loved you enough to send His own Son to the cross to die for you, He will not forsake you, even when times appear as though He has. In fact, God promises to be with you no matter what. And that leads to the second thing we can take with us today. The second thing we learn from our reading is that God promises to bring blessings out of the difficult circumstances of our lives. I mean, not only will God use our trials and tribulations to strengthen our faith in Christ and to help us mature spiritually, in addition, God will also use our trials and tribulations to give us opportunities to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus, our only Lord and Savior. Third and finally, we've also learned from our reading that God wants all people to hear His message of repentance and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. I mean, that's why God sent Paul back to Jerusalem. Even though most of the Jews there hated Paul and hated Jesus, God did not turn His back on them. He still sent Paul to them in the hope that some of them, at least some of them, would repent and believe and be saved. And that's still God's plan today. He wants us to get out the message of His gospel so that more and more people can be saved. Now, it's true, there are some who will reject God's word to the end and despise the truth of His teaching. Nevertheless, God still continues His mission in the world in the hope that some, even a few, will be saved and believe. In fact, you need to know that if you and you alone were the only sinner who would ever repent and believe, if you were the only one of all humanity who would ever repent and believe, God would still have loved you enough to send His Son to the cross for you. That's how dedicated God is to loving us sinners. In fact, that's not only why He continued His mission during that time in the book of Acts. That's why God continues His mission through us today, the members of Concordia Lutheran Church. Amen.